It's easy to become confused in this world of ours, this society of ours. So many opinions of what is right and what is wrong. What's moral? What's immoral? What's correct and incorrect? What exactly is the role of the wife? What is the role of the husband? You ask 20 people, you'll probably get 20 different answers. What's the proper definition of marriage? As we find in our society today that marriage is under attack. Our homes, they're under attack. No longer are the words marriage used, or even the words husband and wife. Instead, and in their place, we hear phrases like significant other, life partner, house buddy. And there's a lot of opinions on what a home really is. There's a lot of opinions on what a marriage is. And so what voice do we listen to? Where exactly do we yield? How do we define our home? How do we define the husband's role, the wife's role, the role of the kids? As Christians, we know. You've heard this over and over again. We yield to the Word of God. It's the Word of God that we allow in our lives to define the roles of our lives. Not just for who we are as husbands or wives, who we are as children, who we are as employees and employers, who we are as lights in this world, but in every area of life, we yield to the Word of God. And it's really our choice. We either choose to yield to the Word of God or we choose not to. As the Creator and the Sustainer of all things, God has spoken to us with authority. And so what we are going to be sharing this morning and looking at His Word is not my opinion. It's not something I've dreamed up. It's not something I've cooked up to somehow bring you wives under control. Nothing of the sort. It's the Word of God. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He's appointed heir of all things, through whom He also made the worlds. So the Word of God is our final authority. He's spoken to us through His Son. And Paul the Apostle has already spoken to us in all these chapters that we've studied in Ephesians. What life is really like apart from Jesus Christ? It's a miserable existence. It's a dark time. Hold your places in chapter 5 for a moment. Just turn back to chapter 2 of Ephesians. Life without Jesus Christ. Chapter 2, picking up in verse 1. Paul writes, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "And you He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." That's a snapshot of life apart from Jesus Christ. It's darkness, it's disobedience, it's separation, it's misery. It's a miserable life to live outside of the will of God, to live contrary to the will of God, to live in such a way that we even think that we can win a battle against our loving and faithful God. And then turn to chapter 4 for a moment, beginning in verse 17. Paul was very clear to make sure we understood the new life that we're living as Christians. He made it very clear for us by repetition the kind of life that we have left. And in chapter 4, verse 17, he says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the emptiness or in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardening of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to licentiousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness." But notice verse 20, "But you have not so learned Christ." So things have changed for us who know Jesus Christ. Things have changed for us, for those of us who have submitted our lives to Jesus Christ. Life is different now. We have a different direction. We have a different focus. We have a hope. We have a strength. And it's rooted, just as we read in the psalm this morning, in holiness. In the holiness of God. And our obedience. doing what he's asked us to do, following through with the life that he's laid before us. And so for the next few weeks, we're on a biblical journey. As the spotlight of life is on our homes. And Paul is going to be sharing with us the role of the husband, the role of the wife, the role of the children, the role of the parent, the role of the employer, and our role as employees. He's going to share with us God's insights, God's plan for the Christian life in these areas. And this morning, we begin with God's role of the wife. And what an important person you are, wives. How critical you are to the home. Keeping your husband in check. Raising up the kids. So important. And as we read chapter 5, verse 22, the Bible says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord." And I know right away, right at the beginning, I recognize that submission is not a popular word. Submission is not a popular word in our world today. You're not going to find an Oprah show dedicated to wives submitting to their husbands. It's not going to happen. You're not going to see a bestseller at Barnes & Noble with the title, "Wives Submit. It's the Way to Go." It's not going to be there. But see, we have a word. We have a book that's outlived any other book. It's God's word to us. And I realize that the topic of this morning is not popular, but I believe it's misunderstood and it's misused. Submission is not an excuse for anyone to make anyone a doormat or a whipping post or some kind of person that is less in value. It has been used that way. I remember the first time I read Ephesians chapter 5, I was pretty happy. I was mistaken. I had bought into the world's lie. I had bought into many lies of the world. And when I approached the Bible, I used the Bible to justify my actions rather than allow the Bible to change me, to melt me, to make me a better husband. As we speak of submission, it may make some of you ladies respond in the flesh and automatically put up your defenses and automatically try to say, "That's not for me." And that's to be expected as we come up against difficult areas in our life. Our flesh is going to fight it. Our old person is going to have a hard time with the difficulties of walking as a Christian. And my prayer has been for the last few weeks, as I've spent many weeks studying this section, that we would be motivated as a church just to have our homes in order. That we would be able to surrender our lives in such a way that when somebody sees our home, they would see Jesus. Because the marriage is a picture of Jesus Christ's relationship with the church. And although wives, it's your turn this week, husbands, you're next. So put your elbows away. None of them moving around. And just allow the Spirit to speak to you. And ladies, be careful that you don't fall into the trap thinking that men hate you or that I hate you. That's easy to do. As we delve into some of the difficulties here, I just want you to know, women, I love you dearly. I care for you as any other person in this fellowship. And what's really on my heart is strong marriages, because I'm tired of dealing with marital difficulties. Not because that's not my job, not because that's not my calling, but because of the pain and the suffering of brokenness in the home. One of the first places I turn to in the Scriptures is right here in Ephesians 5. And I say, "Husbands, are you loving your wives as Christ loved the church?" "Well, I think so." And we deal with that. "Wives, are you submitting as to your husbands as unto the Lord?" "Well, you don't understand that." And we go through those areas. And it's okay to chuckle. It's going to be fun. Because this is God's ideal. And God desires it in your homes. And so he begins with the wives. But he's going to get to the husbands. And really, in looking in my own life from my own experience, wives are the best thing that God's given to men. It's just an awesome gift. I mean, it's amazing what God has designed I don't care how much experimenting and things that we've done, we would have never created something so good as marriage. It just ain't going to happen. I would have never been able to identify the best person for me, but God did. And put us and hooked us up together. And amazing. Where would I be without my wife? I don't know. I'd be miserable, probably. Some wise guy once said that a man is incomplete until he's married, and then he's finished. That's not true. He was a wise guy. But I do want to see marriages strengthened in our church. I do want to see you guys grow in the grace and knowledge. I do want to lay out the biblical framework for an awesome home, and that's what we're going to do. You see, many years ago, I learned that my responsibility was to be a God pleaser and not a man pleaser. That's my role. That's my responsibility. And so whenever we come to difficult sections of Scripture, I'll never forget when we were just first starting out, as we were going through the book of Acts, and we came to the story of Ananias and Sapphira. And I mean, we were just starting out, and I looked out at the fellowship, and I just apologized. I said, I'm so sorry that you're here this morning, because you're going to hear a study on hypocrisy. And it may hit home, because it's a difficult passage. And we want to be known as a fellowship that we're going to tackle the difficulties in life. We're not going to sidestep them. We're not going to just gloss over them. We're going to allow them to come deeply into our lives and face them. And so as a God pleaser, I'm forced to surrender and submit myself to the Lord and talk about the difficulties. God's called me to teach His Word, to teach the full counsel of everything that it has to say about our lives. And I want to present the Word of God to you this morning and the following week so that you will wrestle with it. And truly, this morning is no different than any other morning as we allow the Word of God to speak to our hearts. And so verse 22, he says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as the Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And so in the home, the role for the wife, according to the Scripture spiritually, is a submissive attitude toward her husband, toward her own husband. And the word submission literally means to serve willingly, to voluntarily surrender and yield to someone or to something. And so the wife is to yield and willingly respond to her own husband as to the Lord. And so step one, of course, is to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because if you're really not doing a good job in surrendering and submitting to the Lord, it's going to be very difficult to translate that into family life. He says to do that as unto the Lord. And you know, husbands, you need to be careful not to throw passages of Scripture around like this in your home. Honey, you're just not submitting. That's the problem. Demanding submission. Demanding respect. You see, neither one of those come through demands. As a matter of fact, as soon as you begin demanding it, it's gone, man. It ain't going to happen. As a matter of fact, they're going to turn around probably and say, I'll show you what submission is. But guys, I know it happens. And with this many people in a room, I know the percentages that some of you guys are throwing this passage around in your home. If the word submission ever has to be brought up in your home, you're off track, because it ain't going to happen. And we'll find, men, as we go into our study next week, that your responsibility is to love your wives as Jesus Christ has loved the church. That's a tall order. I wish we would have got the submission order. But your wife is not your personal slave. She's not the maid. She's your helpmate, a perfect complement to the husband. She's there to come alongside of you, to complete you. And you know, I know that to be a fact, because Marie told me to tell you that. I know. Or consider the life of John for a moment. After weeks of symptoms of sickness, he finally found himself at the doctor. And the doctor examined him carefully and called his wife into his office. So the doctor speaking to the wife alone after the examination, And he tells her, your wife is suffering from a rare form of anemia. Without treatment, he'll be dead in a few weeks. The good news is that it can be treated with good nutrition. You'll need to get up early every morning and fix your husband a hot breakfast. Pancakes, bacon and eggs, the works. He'll need a home-cooked lunch every day and then an old-fashioned meat and potato dinner every evening. And it'd be especially helpful if you could bake frequently. Cakes, pies, homemade bread. These are the things that will allow your husband to live. Oh yeah, and one more thing, the doctor said. His immune system is incredibly weak, so it's important that your home be kept spotless at all times. Do you have any questions? She shook her head no. Do you want to break the news to him, or shall I? Said the doctor. And the wife responded, I will. And so she walked into the examination room with just her and her husband there. And the husband, sensing the seriousness of his illness, asked her, it's bad, isn't it? And she nodded with tears welling up in her eyes. What's going to happen to me? He asked. And with a sob, the wife blurted out, the doctor says you're going to die. Guys, you got to get into your minds how precious your wives are. That's going to motivate you to love them. You see, in the beginning of time, God created Adam. As we go back to Genesis, he created Adam and he breathed life into Adam, and then he gave him this garden with animals to tend and to keep. And one of the responsibilities of Adam was to name all the animals. And put yourself in Adam's shoes for a moment, or in his sandals, or whatever he wore. Bare feet. Yeah, because he was naked, wasn't he? They didn't. Yeah. So bare feet. Take your shoes off and put yourself in Adam's bare feet. And as he's looking at the different animals, and he sees the hippopotamus come by, and he looks at him and goes, not a good mate. And he looks at the giraffe, and not a good mate. And as he adds all these names to the animals, he's pretty discouraged. Because at the end of the day, at the end of the week, however long it took him to do that, there was no mate suitable for him. Not one. Not even the apes, as some of our evolutionist friends would think. He turned the apes down. Not a good mate for me. But he came to that place where God finally put him to sleep. He said, I've got something in store for you. And he took a rib, God did, out of Adam's side. And he created this perfect complement, Eve. And then he performed the first marriage ceremony right in the garden. An outside wedding, perfect conditions. And thus began the perfect marriage. They had a great marriage before the fall. If you can imagine what it would be like to have a relationship, whether it be marriage or with anyone else, that's untainted by sin. Now that would be awesome. No pain, no suffering, no pretense, no lying, no nothing. It was all pure. And in this perfect complement, then there came the fall, and that messed everything up. And all of a sudden now, sin began to destroy relationships. Sin began to destroy the family of Adam and Eve. Began to split them and splinter them. And on through the ages, women got the short end of the stick. As a matter of fact, the Jews didn't have a high regard for women. Every morning when they would get up, they would pray this prayer, the men would. God, I thank you that I'm not a Gentile, that I'm not a woman, and that I'm not a dog. That was their viewpoint. In the Roman world, women were just property of the man. As a matter of fact, the Romans believed that a woman was just one step above a slave and many steps below a man. Women were the property of the husband and often treated like children. But Jesus Christ changed all that. And I know that even in homes today, in the year 2002, women are still treated this way. They're still looked upon as something less, as a piece of property. Not only in the United States, but more prevalent outside of the United States, where Christianity hasn't penetrated. The Muslim world, full of subjection to women. Not the biblical subjection that we're speaking of, not the submission here, but a fallenness, a sin-tainted point of view. But Jesus Christ has liberated you women. He's done much better than any women's liberation organization could ever do. He's elevated you. And he's put you on a pedestal.
is prized and precious. He's elevated to you, to the point where he died for you. You know, we read passages in John 3:16, as God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You can apply that personally and say, God died for me. Jesus was sent for me personally, man, woman, and child. Messed up by sin, touched by sin a little bit or a lot, God died for us. And it's important as we look at this section to understand that what Paul's talking about is not value, but roles and responsibilities in the home. And I believe a key to understanding biblical submission is by looking at the best submitter of all, who happened to be a man. His name? Jesus Christ. Let me read to you a few scriptures. You might want to jot them down, but listen to this in the life of your Savior and mine. In John chapter 4, verse 34, Jesus said this, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." What a great attitude to have. My life is dedicated to finding out God's will and following through with it. That's his food. That's his sustenance. John chapter 6, verse 38. "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Perfect submission. Luke chapter 22, verse 42. In Jesus' prayer, "Father, if it's your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." And so we find in Jesus Christ, God the Son, a willingness and a voluntary surrender to the will of God. And we look to him as our supreme example of submission. Now jump back to verse 21 in Ephesians 5 for a moment, because we covered this in our last study. It lays before us a context of this whole picture here. He says, submitting to one another in the fear of God. That's the beginning stages of a home that's in order. A mutual submission. Submission in the home begins with a mutual submission to Jesus Christ. Mutual submission, notice, in the fear of God. In some translations, the fear of Jesus Christ. There needs to be the right attitude and the right atmosphere in order for our homes to be right set up. The attitude, well, that's a reciprocal submission. That's the attitude that we have as we enter into a relationship of marriage. The mindset that I am going to surrender my life to Jesus Christ in the fear of God. With that fear, an attitude of reciprocal submission. Husbands have a responsibility to be the spiritual head of the home. To lead the home in spiritual things in the fear of God. Men, if you are not the spiritual head of your home, you need to be. You need to be leading the devotions with your wife and with your kids. You need to be leading the times of turning that television off when the Word of God needs to be opened. You need to be leading your family and coming to church and praying. That's your responsibility, but that's next week. Women, your responsibility as wives is to submit unto your husband as to the Lord. So the attitude, a reciprocal submission, the atmosphere, well, the atmosphere is one of a reverence of the Lord. A reverence, a fear. I think we have to ask ourselves, is there truly a fear of God in our homes? Do we truly, as we read in the Psalms this morning, recognize the holiness of God and live our lives accordingly? Three times in that psalm that we read, it says, "He is holy, he is holy, he is holy." Are our homes holy? Are our homes holy? Are we living with a healthy fear of God? Not maybe the kind of fear that you were raised with, where God is ready to beat you over the head when you make a mistake. Not a running fear where you run away from God, but a healthy respect for God's power and holiness in your lives. We drive on the roads with a healthy fear, don't we? We stay on the right side of that yellow line. Do you realize how much faith it takes for you and I to drive a vehicle? We actually trust two painted stripes in the middle of a road to keep those people on the other side of the road from coming over and slamming into us. There's a healthy fear. And then seeing some of these Colorado drivers... No, that's not true. They drive like this everywhere. A healthy fear. A healthy fear of the Lord. Unfortunately and tragically, this fear of the Lord is not present in many homes. As a matter of fact, it's unfortunate but true. It's not really present in many of our lives individually, in our churches. A recent survey found that 25% of Christians live together without ever getting married. Christians! 25, one out of every four decided, I think I'm going to try on marriage before I buy. And live contrary to the Word of God. Listen to this. Born-again Christians are just as likely to get divorced as are non-born-again Christians. Or non-born-again. Yeah, how can you be a non-born-again Christian? Non-born-again adults. Overall, 33% of all born-again individuals who have been married have gone through a divorce, which is statistically identical to the 34% in unbelievers. And this is not a warning to beat those of you up who have experienced a divorce. I've gone through many, many, many lives and walked along many paths of the devastating effects of a divorce. And you know, for those of you that have been through one, I know that you hate it. I hate it just as much as you do. But the reality is still there. That there's a healthiness of when there's a fear of the Lord in a church, but there's an unhealthiness when there's not. You're in a tough marriage this morning? Jesus is there for you. Don't throw it away. Don't toss it out. Situations are difficult for you? Don't turn to an unbiblical response before you seek the Lord's wisdom first. A fear of the Lord in our homes, in our church. You see, the world hasn't just tiptoed into the church through the back door. They've rushed in through the front door. The world and the way the world operates, sometimes if we're not careful, the church will look exactly like the world. And may it never be so in our own church. May it never be so at Calvary Chapel, where there is a holiness and a distinction in our lives that point other people to Jesus Christ. But you see, with just a few decisions, just a few choices, we can stop that tide. And we can live holy and righteous lives. The right attitudes, the right atmosphere creates a home that's balanced, creates a home that's righteous, that's full of love, and that is a magnet for other people to recognize the love of Jesus Christ. And so the Holy Spirit speaks through Paul and he says, wives, submit willingly, yield, voluntarily surrender to your husbands as you do to Jesus Christ. Now, women, wives, submission isn't natural, isn't it? Is it? For all of us, we don't like to submit. You see that sign up there that says 25 miles an hour and you think, that's a dumb law. There's nobody on this street. And then so you inch up to 29 because you think, well, the cops don't write tickets unless you're 5 miles over, right? You don't want to submit to the law. You don't want to drive 25. You go into a store and the price for something is just outrageous and you think, I'm not going to pay this price. You don't like to submit. I don't like to submit. It's a difficult proposition. It's not natural. It runs counter to our human nature because our flesh is always trying to gain control. And it seems as if we're not careful, we're always looking for the shortcut out. The easy way. We justify a little bit here. We fib a little bit there. We sidestep that there. And all of a sudden we find ourselves outside of the will of God. You know, there's even an attitude that I've seen over and over again. It's not just a natural rebellion against, you know, as you're just kind of pushing up and you submit, but you know, you're fighting the flesh. But there are people and there are marriages where there is a refusal to submit. An absolute refusal. I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to obey that passage. And you know, the Bible can be very, very difficult to understand in many different places, but at the same time, it can be very easy to understand. As a matter of fact, it was once said that the main things in the Bible are the plain things. And the plain things in the Bible, well, they're the main things. And we have our hands full with the things that we already understand, don't we? Mark Twain once said that it wasn't the passages that he didn't understand that bothered him. It was the passages that he did understand that bothered him. You see, in our culture today, it's anarchy, isn't it? Little bumper stickers that says, question authority. Things in life, movie stars and cultural icons, exchanging wives and husbands like they do a new pair of shoes. That's just what the world's into. You get rid of one, you go on to the next. There's often in us a deep-seated rebellion to submit. We desire to be the boss. How many times have you thought that at your workplace? Well, if I was the boss. You probably don't want to be the boss. I remember as a person that was in management, there was many times where I'd sit in my office and think, oh, I wish I could come in and clock in and then go home when I clock out. You can have my beeper and my cell phone and everything about it. We always think the grass is greener on the other side. We always look at somebody else's marriage and say, oh, his husband, that's the world. Her husband is better than mine. That's why he says here, submit to your own husbands, wives. Because we're always looking over the fence. They've got it better than me. The world, it's easier. Let's go back into the world. Let's go back into the old life. But being in the flesh, we have a real hostility and opposition to the things of God. That's our natural response. In Romans chapter 8, verse 5, it says, for those who live according to the flesh, they set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And really, that's where it is, isn't it? Are we going to set our minds on the things of the flesh? Or are we going to set our minds on the things of the Spirit? Our marriages are at stake here. Our homes, our children. And in Genesis chapter 3, we find that the fall into sin by Adam and Eve, it created an antagonistic attitude between the husband and the wife. In that time, as God was speaking to them and speaking the curse on them, he says that the husband is going to desire to rule over. Her desire is going to be for her husband. And that word desire literally means to rule over a husband. And then it says, but the husband will rule over her. And so now we've got this antagonism because of sin as we butt heads all the time. And now in the New Testament, it's all lined up for us. We know what we're supposed to do. It's all there for us. And I find that a biblical Christ-centered home, a biblical Christ-centered marriage thrives in today's world. It's the best thing on earth. And truly, marriage can be heaven on earth. As the husbands love their wives and as the wives submit to the husband, hey, it can be heaven on earth, but if we make a few decisions, it also can be the worst hell on earth. As we refuse to surrender to the Lord. And I find, husbands, that submission comes very naturally and easy for a wife when she feels secure in a husband's love for her. Submission comes very naturally when she understands that the husband is leading her into spiritual things. Where he's not coming with an opinion, but he's coming with the Word of God. And she can safely trust in her husband as he is seeking the Lord's will for the home and for the family. She knows without a doubt that you'll be there for her as you live a spiritual and godly life. That those are the roles, and we can only do them by the power of God's strength. Marriage can be the most exciting thing on earth, the closest to heaven on earth. And truly, that's what we need as we go out into the highways and the byways and we share the love of Jesus Christ. We need a home that's in order. We need one that's right. A right attitude, a right atmosphere. And I realized as I was putting this study together and praying over it, that by the time we got to this section in the message, that some of you ladies might be thinking, that's fine and good, Ed, but you don't understand the home that I live in. You don't know my husband. I know he looks like a Christian on the outside. I know that he's in church and every Sunday, but you don't live with me. You don't understand what he does to me. You don't understand the unspiritual atmosphere in my home. And I just want to let you know that I understand that exists. I understand that there comes a place where you may not feel like submitting. Where you may even think that you have the right not to submit because of the upside-down life that your husband is leading. You might look at your husband and say, he's no Jesus Christ, that's for sure. He's a creep, and he's a mean guy, and he's yelling all the time, and he's throwing things all the time. And, you know, I hear that word submission more than I really... I'm sick of hearing that word. I understand where you're at, but you know, the Word of God has something to say for you, too. Would you hold your places here and turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, please? I realize there are difficult situations out there. And I understand that you might be in one this morning. But Peter has a similar vein of thought as he takes us through the Scriptures. And he speaks directly to that wife that's in a tough situation. Whether you're unequally yoked this morning, or your husband is in a backslidden condition, or he's just not interested in spiritual things, Peter has this to say. Likewise, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands. And even if some do not obey the word, Peter says, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. When they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear, there's that word again, fear the Lord. Do not let your beauty be that outward adorning of the arranging of the hair, the wearing of gold, the putting on of fine apparel. Don't try to win them by dressing up, and don't try to win them by trying to fall into the world's trap of only having an outward appearance. Now, I thank God for makeup, by the way. I'm not saying you can't wear makeup or that you can't get dressed up. But what Peter's saying here, is it okay to like makeup? Okay, just want to make sure. Understand what Peter's saying here. He's saying it's not the outward that's going to win your husband. It's not the tracks on the toilet, you know. Honey, you're sitting down on the throne and God's on his throne. That isn't going to win him. It's not trying to put the music station really loud, K-Love, and just blasting Christian music. It's not the outward that's going to win your husband. Notice this. He says, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible ornament of a gentle and a quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in the former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. So there's encouragement for those of you that are in a bad situation. There's encouragement. But there's also a warning. Because there are many born-again women who lead their homes and rule over their husbands contrary to the Word of God. There are many women who decide that if my husband's not going to do it, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to make sure he understands that I'm following in the Lord's will, because he's not going to do it, I'm going to do it. I'm going to rule over my husband. I'm going to pick up where he left off. Sometimes it's because the husband isn't fulfilling his role. Sometimes it's because the husband doesn't have a strong walk. Sometimes it's the wife is truly more spiritual than the husband. Maybe they were saved longer. Maybe they're in the Word longer. But it's an upside down home. It's an upside down home. And ladies, if you find yourself here this morning, you're ruling your home. You're not submissive to your husband. You actually sort of make your husband be submissive to you. That's upside down. It's not correct. The Bible clearly tells us it's the other way around. And I found that the more spiritual a woman is, the more spiritual her life is, the deeper desire she'll have to live for Jesus Christ and fulfill her role within the home. Now, maybe that's still not enough for the situation that you're in. You still might be thinking, hey, I'll be gentle and quiet, but it seems like every time I'm gentle and quiet, my husband becomes even angrier. He's a tyrant. He might even be involved in some physical abuse, some things in your home that really don't belong. And I realize, too, that there are some extreme cases out there, drugs involved, physical abuse, sexual abuse, child abuse. Those are the times when you hook into your family of believers and you get out of a situation like that, and we try to deal with it spiritually. When I read the scriptures and I see that wives submit to your own husbands, I don't see, yeah, let them beat you up because the Bible says you should submit. No. Let them put your kids and your family in danger. No. But you need to be connected with the church so that we can help you, so that we can come alongside of you, so that we can try to rectify this and fix it. We've seen testimonies in our own church already where that has happened, and God has gotten the victory in a home. And we've intervened, and we've been able to get in there, and God has done a miracle. It's possible. And so if that's you, we need to know so that we can help. And realize, guys, that there are consequences to your sin. You do not have permission to beat up your wife or your kids or anyone else. you'll find that your responsibility is to love her as Jesus Christ loves the church. And you can do it. You can do that. And so, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband's the head of the wife. Husbands, be the head. Be the spiritual leader of your home. Just like Jesus is the head of this church, and he's the Savior of the body. And wives, you guys are so special. We love you so much. Single gals, you're just as important. Because you're not fulfilling the role of a wife right now does not make you any less at all. Don't let the world rip you off. Don't let even the thought, an attack to think, because I'm single, I'm not important in this church. You are just as important as anyone else. Fulfilling in your life a different role. And Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians, about all the neat things that you can do with the free time that you have until God brings a mate into your path. So I find in the scriptures, as Eve was brought to Adam, you single folks, wait on the Lord, and God will bring to you a mate, the perfect match for you. You know, Solomon, he had a lot to say on marriage. I mean, the guy should know. He had plenty of wives and concubines to keep him busy. You would think after the first wife, he'd think he wouldn't want another, but he went on and 700 wives, 300 concubines. But there were words of wisdom inspired through him. He said, houses and riches are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 4, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who causes shame is like rottenness to his bones. And by submitting your lives to Jesus Christ and to your husband's wives, you may win him. You may soften him. For sure you'll support him. And you'll find that there's an open avenue of spiritual growth in your home that has yet to be experienced. And even if you find that your home is right side up today, there is still much more that God has on the horizon for you in marriage. Many years of satisfaction and peace in the home. In a messed up marriage, do you know what it takes to fix it? One person that's willing to bend. Just one person. One person that's willing to humble themselves. One person that's willing to surrender. One person that's willing to give their life wholeheartedly to Jesus Christ. That opens an avenue for God to begin blessing that home. Are you the one that's been pushing and fighting and not wanting to humble yourself? Are you the one that's finding yourself battling against your role in the home? As we look at our homes, as we look at our roles, it doesn't matter what the world is doing. It doesn't matter if our friends are not living according to God's word. It doesn't matter what the world says is okay. It doesn't matter. What matters is our obedience. Our willingness to understand what God's word says and to go out and do it. I was interested in reading about four scholars this week who were arguing over what best Bible translation to use. And one scholar said that he prefers the King James Version because of its beautiful, eloquent, though ancient Old English. And another one said that he preferred the New American Standard Bible because of its literalness and the way it moved from passage to passage with accuracy to the original text. A third scholar, he preferred the New Living Translation because of its simplicity in getting the message across, even though it was a paraphrase. But then the fourth man, he spoke up and he said, I personally preferred my mother's translation. And when the men chuckled, he said, yeah, she translated it. She translated it into life. It's the most convincing translation that I ever saw. Might I turn that just a little bit? And perhaps we'll have the opportunity to say the best translation that I've ever seen is the one in your life, wives. The one in your life, husbands. Through a quiet and gentle spirit. So that we truly do reflect the beauty and honor of a home that honors Jesus Christ. I lived in a home that was both, because Marie and I were married before we were saved. And I'll take it now more than then any day of the week. Let's pray. Father,